We open God's Word together this morning in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, reading there the first 9 verses. The Holy Spirit, in this context, at verse 21, has called us to submit one to another in the fear of God, and then has addressed wives in that call of submission to their husbands, husbands and their call to submission in the home as leaders, to have a servant heart as husbands. And now in chapter 6, continuing that same theme of submission, we come to the family and to the sphere of work. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, that's employees, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. We read to that point, asking God's blessing on the reading. One other passage that I would read at this time, this is in connection with the fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother. 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, the verses 22 and 23. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23, the words of the prophet Samuel to King Saul, after Saul has disobeyed God's command to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Verse 22, 1 Kings 15, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So it's devilish. Rebellion is inspired of the devil, who inspired the woman to disobey, to rebel. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, to be stubborn, is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is idolatry. Idolatry of oneself. We're worshiping ourselves. That's what stubbornness is. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This morning we've come to the fifth commandment of God's law, and we have the explanation of that in Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is on page 22 in the back of the Psalter, and it's question 104 in the Heidelberg Catechism. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to the fifth commandment and thus to the second table of the law of God, the love of the neighbor, it would be good for us to just briefly review the relationship of the law and the gospel, the relationship of the Ten Commandments and the gospel of salvation by grace alone. This connection between law and gospel has caused so many to stumble in the history of the church, and yet today to stumble. The law, or the Ten Commandments, and the gospel are not diametrically opposed, so that we must choose one or the other, but they are reconciled in the cross of Jesus Christ. The law, first of all, you remember, the Ten Commandments, points us to Christ alone as our salvation. And it does so because the law of God this morning as well will expose our sin. All the way back to Lord's Day 2 of the Catechism, question 5, the question was asked us, can you keep these Ten Commandments perfectly? And we answered, no. We are prone by nature to hate God and the neighbor. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 3:24, the law is the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. That's the first use of the Ten Commandments. Augustus Toplady's hymn, not the labors of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands, could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no respite know, these for sins could not atone, thou must save, and thou alone. But the place of the law now is not over in the life of the redeemed child of God. The gospel does not say, discard the law. Don't pay attention to the law. You don't need to be concerned about the way of obedience as the way of the experience of salvation. You don't need to be reminded of the commandments. Grace is not license. Grace is not cheap. We must not say, don't preach the law of God to me. I can't do that. I'm a great sinner. I'm rebellious. Don't say, if you preach the requirements of the law, you're guilty of conditional theology. We believe in unconditional covenant. Now you're making God's fellowship conditioned on our obedience to the law. Don't say that. Salvation alone in Christ works within us the new desires to be pleasing to God. Not to merit our salvation, but as the expression of our love for God, our thankfulness for salvation, because the Holy Spirit is in us as saved children of God. We love the law as the pathway that keeps us from that which is displeasing to God and injurious to our souls and which will glorify God. We should all remember, that the Ten Commandments, the preface to the Ten Commandments, we hear it every Lord's Day. The Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God who hath brought thee out of the house of bondage. I've redeemed you. The law was given to a redeemed people. Not to earn salvation. They've been redeemed. But to guide their steps in obedience. And all of this now becomes so true of the fifth commandment this morning. As I said, in the fifth commandment we begin the second table, the love of the neighbor. And in the fifth commandment, we learn that the way of maturity in a Christian walk, the way to glorify God, in our Christian life is the way of obedience to authority or submission. The fifth commandment has to do with authority and submission. It calls us as children of God in the home, as little boys and girls, young people. It calls us, each one of us, as we all are under some authority, it calls us to a life of honor and obedience to authority. And that this is the way of a God-glorifying and spiritually blessed walk. Put it negatively, disobedience to authority will be disobedience to God. Disobedience does not lead to peace. It leads to chaos and every evil work. In our American culture, especially now when it comes to young people and children, but especially young people, our American culture believes that young people rebel. And sometimes we do. And we did. We pray that that not be the case. But my point is that our culture assumes that this is the case. That this is almost a rite of passage, so to speak. That it's to be expected that they will all party, they will all drink, they will all have a bad relationship with their parents, they will all disobey. We can even talk that way sometimes. We go through that, we say. Anger, disrespect, sullen. But God says that's not so. The life of a young person, teenager in Jesus Christ, is a life of honor and obedience for Christ's sake. The fifth commandment says it's not the right of a young person to break the fifth commandment. No matter what the culture, no matter what our hormones are telling us, no matter what our friends might be doing, the time of a young person's life is indeed a time to learn independence, to learn thinking for yourself, for trying sometimes and failing. That's true, towards adulthood. But the way to adulthood is not the way of stubbornness. It's not the way of disobedience. The way to adulthood is Christ-likeness. To be like Christ. To respect. To be humble. To be controlled by Christ. To be submissive. To be obedient. To honor our Father in heaven. So let's consider that for a few moments this morning, the call to honor and obey. We'll look at the requirement, the reasons, and the rewards. The commandment, fifth commandment, boys and girls, itself requires two things. The first is honor. That's the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother. And Paul adds a second word in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Those two words, honor and obey, summarize the requirement of the fifth commandment. And Paul says they both of those words go with the words in the Lord. In the Lord. And there Paul is not referring to the fact that your parent might be in the Lord. Paul isn't saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is, if your parents happen to be Christians, obey them. That's not what he's saying. But he means you are in the Lord. As you are in the Lord, children, young people, you, God speaks to you because you're in his church. You are his church. You belong to his church. God speaks right to you. You are in the Lord, and therefore you must honor and obey your parents. That's what is required of us as Christians. And then that broadens out to us throughout our life, to every sphere of authority. Wherever that authority of God is placed over me, I am to honor and obey in the Lord. Let's look at that word obey. What is obedience? Obedience is to follow a clearly stated command. Immediately, completely, and happily. At our tables today, when your parents are going to review the sermon, this is the thing that you can review. What is it to obey? To obey is to follow a clear, reasonable, understandable command immediately, completely, and happily. Let's look at that. Parents and everybody in authority, obedience, if we are to expect it, children must be given a clear and a consistent and a reasonable command. This is true of Christ. His commands are sure and right. They are not vague. They are not fickle. They are not ambiguous. But he speaks clearly and in wisdom. The expectation you have as a parent for your child, God says, must be a clear one. You need to express that clearly to them. You need to be consistent in those requirements. You need to be understandable. If you are whimsical with your children, you deal with them unfairly. You do not consider. You need to consider the child and their abilities. We have experienced this in, as men, we have experienced that in the workplace. We all probably have had a job where the expectations and the boss and the management was not clear. They didn't express what was on their mind. You had to read the boss's mind. We weren't told. And so we did something and we were reprimanded for it, and it led to confusion. It led to total confusion. We said we didn't want to work there. That's the way they run their business. We can't work there. Well, so also in the home, the child needs to understand. And it's easy for us as parents to assume that they know what is being required of them, but we have not laid it out. We have not patiently, firmly, repeatedly explained what is expected. Clean your room. Pick up your toys. But maybe we haven't showed them how to fold their clothes and put them away, how to make a bed, where the toys go. The fifth commandment says to everyone who is in authority, be clear, be consistent, instruct carefully, consider the ability of the one whom you're dealing with in your expectations. Know your child in love. Obedience is to follow a clear command immediately, completely, and happily. Those are the things we're going to review at the table today. Immediately, prompt. Obedience is immediate. This was true of Christ. Psalm 40, verse 8, when the Father's will was that he come to the earth, he said, I come, I come. This was the Apostle Paul when he was converted on the road to Damascus. Lord, what will you have me to do? And immediately, he preached Christ. This must be taught, and this must be disciplined. And sometimes it goes like this. Mom or dad say once, stop fighting. It keeps going on. You say it again, volume goes up. Stop fighting. Your children know that at a certain volume level, when you're hot, That's the time to obey. That's what we've taught them. Our children must not learn certain volume levels or counting. I'm going to count to three. We're teaching disobedience. We're encouraging disobedience. It's okay to disobey as long as mom and dad don't blow up. That's not obedience. Obedience is we aim at in our lives, prompt. Obedience is complete. It's all the way. King Jehoshaphat, King Hezekiah, King Josiah, godly kings of Judah in the Old Testament, were those who fully obeyed, we read, the Lord their God. They tore down the altars to Baal and the groves, and they drove out the Sodomites. There were others, also godly kings, whose heart was not complete with God and drew a line in their obedience. Certain things they knew would be just too painful and too difficult. So Dad says, you can play, you can go with your friends when your homework is done. Mom says, when you have finished helping me sweeping the kitchen and loading the dishwasher, you can read your book. But before those things are done, homework half done, dishwasher not loaded, you're off playing or reading. That's not obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Obedience must be complete. And now here's the key to it. I use the word we aim. We're on this earth. We aim at immediate, complete obedience because that's what the Lord requires of me in my life. Immediate, complete obedience. But the key to that, the key to it is happily. There's the key. And happily has to do with the heart. It has to do with the attitude. And that's the key of the fifth commandment. Obedience must be from the heart. And that's why the word honor. Honor. Honor is not necessarily an act. It's not a deed. It's an attitude. Honor is respect. Obedience can be outward compliance with the demand. I did it. That's not obedience. Because obedience must be with honor. That's what God says. That's what God calls us as His children in Christ always to do. We must not be content just with right actions. With our children too, we must not be content simply with outward appearance. We must not teach them simply that they have obeyed when they have satisfied the eye of man. But we must always bring to our children the inward, that God is interested in the heart, and that He wants them to follow Him happily, with all their heart and all their soul, that we have to have the right attitude or we have not obeyed. And so, obedience is glued to honor. It demands honor. That's the life of the child of God. And the Catechism then, to expand upon that word honor, uses four words to describe what is honor. It says, first of all, that I show all honor, that is, love and fidelity to my parents and to everyone in authority over me. It's first of all love. Love for God, yes. But love for my parent. And love in Christ also for the person in authority over me. Love of the neighbor. That is, it cannot be performed with resentment, with anger. But we must love. Secondly, we must be in fidelity. That's faithful. This is a very important indication from the scriptures of obedience. Is a person obedient? Well, answer this question. Can you trust them? I don't need to ask young people and children, are you obedient to your parents? I think the better question would be, can they trust you? Do they trust you? Trust is built upon faithfulness. When a person is faithful, that is, out of your sight, this person is trustworthy. Honor is to love and be faithful, and submission. We are to submit to their good instruction and correction. Submission is more than obedience. It means that I choose to place myself under that authority for Christ's sake. It is a deliberate choice of the new man in Christ. We read in Luke 2:51 that Jesus went down with his parents to Nazareth and was subject to them. That's a profound verse. Here's the Son of God in flesh with sinful parents submitting to them because he would honor them. He would honor them. And finally, patient. Patient to bear with their weakness and infirmities. That's not an excuse for parents, but that's the reckoning of the fact that every one of our parents are sinners. They are sinners. And we must deal with them with patience. And especially when they become older, there's no limitation on this commandment. We must honor and bear with their weakness and infirmities in love. You say, my mother and I clash. We just don't get along. I don't get along with my father. Patience with their weakness. Patience with them in their old age, their loss of memory. I talked earlier of culture, the culture in which God gives us to glorify Him. We must resist that culture when it comes to obedience to authority. But India, that culture, for other reasons, not godly reasons, that culture is a culture of submission to parents, to the point that the Christians want to even be submissive, if possible, to their parent when they select for them a mate, and will only in humility say to them, I cannot marry one who is not a child of God. Obedience then is not just actions. Obedience is to do things happily, willingly, the opposite of a rebellious heart. Your parents are not going to let you, as young people and children, simply do something with a bad attitude. Parents, they should be disciplined not just for not doing something, but they should be corrected if they do something with a bad attitude. If we let it pass, we do them a disservice. If we don't patiently instruct and enforce our instruction, we do them a disservice. Responsibility that is given especially to fathers. We're concerned about the heart, that there not be a heart of disrespect. And sometimes it's easier for us to say, well, the kid is doing it, we say to our wife. The kid is doing it, and she says, yeah, but He's got a fit about it. And what we're saying is, I've had a busy day. Don't bother me with this. Can we leave this alone? No, we can't leave alone. We cannot leave alone a bad attitude. It is the heart. Obedience is to follow a clear command immediately, completely, and happily. I want to emphasize yet one word in the fifth commandment before we go to the reasons, and that is the word mother. Honor thy father and mother. And what happens very often is that as when we become a young person, a teenager, we get bigger, and even before that, and we believe we are smarter, and we are stronger, and we begin to operate on the false notion that might makes right. I think I'm smarter, I am bigger, and I am stronger, and I don't have to obey my parents, and mothers sometimes can be the target of this. And our mother spends so much time with us, and after a while we begin to take that for granted, and we think that we can get away with the way we talk to or treat or respond to our mother because of my size, my intelligence, my experiences that she hasn't had, and we can treat them with disrespect. God says, she's your mother. She spent her life, she spent herself to nurture you. She's the one who taught you tenderly when you were a little child of the Lord your God. Therefore, there's a word here, not just for young people to respect their mothers, but there's a word here for fathers and husbands that we see to this. That we remember the treatment that we give to our wife, apart from God's grace, is what we can expect our children to give if we sin against our wife. If we treat her with disdain, ingratitude, if she's the butt end of jokes, if we look at her as inferior, this is how the children are going to treat her, and apart from God's grace, how your son will one day treat his wife. And vice versa. Vice versa here too. If the wife, before the children, treats her husband with scorn, so will the children. It puts a question to us men. Proverbs says, the virtuous woman, her family calls her blessed. They rise up to call her blessed. Do we show that respect for our wives? And do we see that our children are going to show that respect to their mother? Now, why for all of this? Well, there's wrong reasons. And these are the reasons that we're tempted to give to our children. We won't spend time on that this morning. The reason is not simply because I said so. The reason is not do it or else. The reason is not, well, it would make me happy. And perhaps there's measures of truth in all of those words, but that's not the reason. The reasons are, number one, Ephesians 6 verse 1, in the Lord, we come back to those words, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because you are in the Lord. That's why. Because I'm in the Lord. My relationships to other people are not what the world would expect, because I am in the Lord. And being in the Lord means that He, according to Scripture, holds that exalted position as King of Kings over all exalted at God's right hand. And therefore, Paul continued to say, you do this as unto Christ. When he spoke of the master, of the employer, you obey him as unto Christ, because you know that all authority is of Christ. And Christ put you in that position. And you are there to reflect Christ in your attitude. And that's why you do that. Boys and girls and young people, it means that your relationship to Christ is first. It can only be first. A relationship to Christ cannot be second. It means that we submit to Him, our Lord and Savior, and we do that with all our heart and joy and passion because we belong to Him and we want to glorify Him. This is the thing that we must teach our children. This is what we must remind them, their relationship to Jesus Christ, that they willingly serve Him, that we are always reflecting upon Christ in what we do towards other people. This is the reason for obedience. Henceforth, says Paul, 2 Corinthians 5, we should not serve ourselves, but Christ. This is why a child picks up their toys. Yes, it is. This is why a child will do their homework. This is why. This is why, as a young person, you will comply happily with your parents' rules, because all authority is of Christ. This is why in work we honor our employer, our master, said Paul, master according to the flesh. Did you catch that? Your employer is your master according to the flesh. He's not your master. Jesus is your master. And therefore we serve Him not with eye service as men pleasers, but we serve as the servants of Christ. This is our freedom. This is our place as a child of God. Christ before the government, before the church, in the home, in work, wherever that is, with all our hearts. We're free men. We're free because we belong to Jesus Christ, who has all authority, and with His own hand places me under that authority and says, for my sake, with one exception, will we obey and submit, with one exception, when anyone in authority calls us to disobey what Jesus Christ requires of us, then we cannot and we will not obey, because all authority is Christ's. And so, continuing, the scriptures say that we do it not only because we are in Christ, but this is God's will. This is right. That's the second reason. This is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Well, what does that mean? Well, when Paul says this is right, he's pointing to God and to the law. That needs to be heard more than ever before. This is right. God's law. God said, this is how we love the neighbor. God said that. That's why it's right. God said, this is right. Worship me. First commandment. Worship me as I require. Second commandment. Honor my name. Third. Keep the Sabbath day. Come to my house. Now we come to the fifth commandment. God said, honor your neighbor. Honor him. Respect him for my sake. This is right. And finally, we do it because we love God. We love God. That's what makes the child of God ticks. That's the heart of the love, heart of the life, rather, the life that Jesus has given to you as a child of God loves God. It does. And out of that love of God, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we keep His commandments. In fact, John says, 1 John 3 and 1 John 4 and 5, when we love God. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and the commandments are not grievous. John says, we know, we believe, and we know something that others don't know. What is it? We believe the love that God has to us. That's what we know and believe as a Christian. We know that God has loved us freely, entirely of His grace, not because we are worthy. He's justified us. He preserves us. He's going to glorify us. He embraces us in His church family. And therefore, that's why. We obey not because we are threatened. We obey not because the other person is stronger or smarter. We obey and we follow because we are in Christ. Because it's right. Because I love God. This is not an option for me when I feel like it. This is what God calls me to do. We must be an example of this obedience, of these reasons, to our children as parents. We must not simply say to our children, do what I say, but we should say to them, do as I do. Do as I do. We must not incubate rebellion in our children by sinful attitudes towards authority, toward state, toward work, or in the church. But we must be an example of all of these things, of what a Christian life is toward authority. With that exception, one exception, when they require of us that which God forbids us to do, we will not obey that. We can't. We should be an example of this, that we do it happily, willingly, to the Lord. The great example to us, though, is the Lord Jesus Christ in His relationship to Joseph and Mary. Sometimes, as a child and as young people, we don't think that our parents get it. And looking back at my teenage years, that was seldom the case, but sometimes that was true. Sometimes parents don't really get it. Could be that I wasn't telling them about what I was thinking and going through, and yet they were insisting, and I didn't tell them the struggle I was having with that. That could be the reason too, but sometimes they did not get it, and yet they continued to tell me. Well, then I think of Joseph and Mary. Did they understand Jesus? You remember when He was in the temple as a boy of 12 years old, they came to Him and said, Son, why did you do this to us? You stayed behind. Aren't you thoughtful of us? And He says, don't you want me to be about my Father's business? He explained to them why. And we read, and they understood not the saying that He spake to them. And then we read, and He went down with them and was subject. His parents did not understand. But He was subject. He loved His mother. He cared for His mother. From the cross, He took care of His mother. His mother was a sinner. He was the Son of God. He honored His mother. God says there will be a reward. The reward is, first of all, the quality of our life, that it may be well with thee. One who lives in rebellion does not have a happy life. One who lives in rebellion to authority is not going to experience God's blessing. Blessing is found when we are subject to Jesus Christ with all of our hearts, and He rules over us. But when there's a chip on our shoulder to authority, you can be guaranteed our life is going to have misery because God is in his heavens. There will be tension somewhere. There will be confusion. In the home, there will be tears. There will be hurt and every evil work. And it's only going to increase. It will only continue to increase. It will not go well with us in the way of rebellion. We will end up where the prodigal son ended up, in the pig trough and in prison. You and I will waste our life in rebellion. But obedience is blessed. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So he doesn't listen to what the ungodly are saying. He doesn't stand in their way. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't scorn authority. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Obedience is the way to the experience of prosperity. And then not only the quality, but the quantity for the Bible of life. For the commandment speaks of a long life. And we remember that this is stated now in the context of Israel going to the land of Canaan, where they in Canaan would enjoy that covenant life of God. And so the point is not a guarantee that you'll live to 90, but the point is that you will experience throughout all of your life fellowship with God. When we disobey, we put all of that at risk. In the way of obedience, no, we might not even make 60. But the quality of our life will be fellowship. Obedience is the way to the enjoyment of salvation. If our heart is rebellious, if it grudges, if it resents authority, we cannot enjoy our salvation. Obedience honors Christ. Let's pray for a spirit of submission, honor, obedience, since this pleases God. Amen. Father, before thy holy law, no man is justified. Yet we love thy law as it points to us the path of response. Response to thy grace. Yet we confess that that pathway now is hard, for we bear the old man of sin. Give us wisdom. Give us submissive hearts. And in all of our acts towards authority, may we be able in our hearts to say, for Christ's sake, for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.